Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs.
I don't know if you could say that one word describes Jesus Christ, but if you could, that word certainly might well be the word compassion. Compassion comes from a Latin word, or passion does at least, a Latin word that means to suffer. The prefix com means along with. So then, the literal definition of the word compassion is to suffer with. It would be a rhetorical question, wouldn't it, to ask, did Jesus suffer with man? Jesus became flesh. Before becoming flesh, Jesus attained that which you and I are living our life to attain, a home in heaven. But he became flesh, and he lived as a man. But not only did he live as a man, he died as a man. And he did all of that so that he might save you and I. Compassion is more than just knowledge. The Greek definition involved the inner parts. Therefore, to be moved by compassion is to be moved by our most inner parts, our most inner feelings. Have you ever been moved by disappointment or a deep fear or grief or loneliness? That's the kinds of feelings that relate to compassion. Jesus had compassion because he was God's son, and God is compassionate. Jesus' compassion is God's love manifested. Note, if you would, in Luke the 15th chapter, there are three parables, and those three parables show that joy is result of compassion. Jesus was not only compassionate, he's our example. He's our role model for compassion. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 21, the Bible says, "For even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that we should follow in his steps." 1 John 2 and verse 6, the Bible reads, "He who says he abides in him ought to walk in the same way in which he walked." Even when Jesus was rejected, it was Christ's aim throughout his ministry to show compassion. I want, if you would, to turn in your Bible with me to Luke, the 15th chapter, and let's just read that chapter as we noted it being so integral in our lesson concerning the compassion of Jesus. "Now all the tax gatherers and the sinners were coming near him to listen to him. And both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them.' And he told them this parable, saying, 'What man among you, if he has 100 sheep and has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open pasture and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors and says to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." I tell you," Jesus said, "that in the same way, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over the 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or, and Jesus continues now in his teaching with parables in verse 8, or what woman, if she has 10 silver coins and loses one coin, does not light up a lamp and sweep the house and search carefully until she finds it? And when she's found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the coin which I have lost. And in the same way, I tell you, Jesus said, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. And Jesus said, and here's the third parable in the 15th chapter of Luke, verse 11, a certain man had two sons, and the younger of them said to his father, Father, give me the share of the estate that falls to me. And he divided his wealth between them. And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey to a distant country. And there he squandered his estate with loose living. And when he had spent everything, a severe famine occurred in that country, and he began to be in need. And he went and attached himself to one of the citizens of that country, and he sent him into his fields to feed the swine. And he was longing to fill his stomach with the pods that the swine were eating, and no one was giving anything to him. And when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have more than enough bread? But I'm dying with hunger. I will get up and I will go to my father and I will say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. And no longer am I worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hired men. And he got up and he came to his father, and while he was still a long way off, his father saw him. And he felt compassion for him and ran and embraced him and kissed him. Did you notice the feeling that the father had for the son that was returning? Remember, we define compassion as being those feelings that come from the most inner parts of your being. That's how his father felt. His heart must have just jumped with joy. He felt compassion for him. Verse 21 now. And the son said to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. But the father said to his slaves, quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on him, and put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet, and bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let us eat and be merry. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again, and he was lost and he's been found. And they began to be merry. Now his older son was in the field, and when he came and approached the house, he heard the music and the dancing, and he summoned one of the servants, and beginning inquiring to him about these things, what they might be. And he said to him, your brother has come, and your father has killed the fattened calf, because he has received him back safe and sound. But the older son became angry and was not willing to go in. And his father came out and began entreating him. But he answered and said to his father, look, for so many years I've been serving you, and I've never neglected a command of yours, and yet you have never given me a kid that I might be merry with my friends. But when this son of yours came, who has devoured his wealth, or your wealth, with harlots, you killed the fattened calf for him. And he said to him, my child, you have always been with me, and all that is mine is yours. But we had to be merry and rejoice, for this brother of yours was dead and has begun to live. He was lost, and now he's been found. That's a perfect picture of compassion. Jesus is compassionate toward your and my future. A man without compassion is not pleasing. There's no substitute for this quality. Regardless of the knowledge of a person, regardless of the prominence of a person's position, without compassion, one cannot please Jesus. Without compassion, we can simply not walk in the steps that he left while giving us footprints to follow in order to be saved. many a modern-day Christian can be seen in the Pharisee of Matthew the 12th chapter, can't they? Matthew the 12th chapter, beginning in verse 8, what a great warning to us. There the Bible says, at that time Jesus went on through the grain fields, and his disciples became hungry and began to pick the heads of grain and eat. But the Pharisees saw what he was doing, and they said to him, "Behold, your disciples are doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath." But Jesus said to them, "Have you not read what David did when he became hungry, and he and his companions? Now he entered the house of God, and they ate the consecrated bread, which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those with him, but for the priests alone. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath the priests in the temple break the Sabbath and are innocent? But I say to you that something greater than the temple is here. If you had known what this means, 'I desire compassion and not sacrifice,' you would not have condemned the innocent. For the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." I want you to emphasize, for the sake of our lesson, the words again found in verse 7 of the text of chapter 12, the book of Matthew. Jesus said, "Don't you know that I desire compassion and not sacrifice?" Jesus not only was compassionate, he demanded compassion of those who followed him. The condition of requiring compassion is often taught in the New Testament. In Luke the 10th chapter, for example, in verses 30 through 37, the story that we call the Good Samaritan, the priest wasn't compassionate. The Levite weren't compassionate. And they were religious people. The point is, it takes more than law. Colossians 3 and verse 17 tells us without fail that law is important, but it takes more than law. How then can we find in the Bible that the compassion of Christ was manifest? First of all, he lived it. We read in Matthew the 9th chapter, verse 35 and 36, "And Jesus was going about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues and proclaiming the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every kind of disease and every kind of sickness, and seeing the multitudes," look now, "and seeing the multitudes, he felt compassion for them, because they were distressed and downcast like sheep without a shepherd." Jesus did not let the rejection that some that were out to do him harm were trying. He did not get angry because of that rejection. He felt compassion for the multitudes. Galatians 6 and verse 10 directs us to do good unto all men. I wonder how thoroughly we implement that in our lives. We give some practical solutions at the close of this lesson on how to do that. Well, Jesus' compassion was manifest in the fact that he taught it. We've already noted the Samaritan of Luke 10 and the lost sheep of Luke 15. Now I'd like, if you would, to turn in your Bible to the 18th chapter of the book of Matthew, verses 23 through 35, and consider the message there. In Matthew 18, verse 23, beginning and going through verse 35. "For this reason, the kingdom of heaven may be compared to a certain king who wished to settle accounts with his slaves. And when he had begun to settle them, there was brought to him one who owed him 10,000 talents. And since he did not have the means to repay, the Lord commanded that he be sold along with his wife and children to all that he had as a repayment to be made. The slave therefore, falling down, prostrated himself before him, saying, have patience with me, and I will repay you everything. And the lord of that slave felt compassion and released him and forgave him his debt. But that slave went out and found one of his fellow slaves who owed him 100 denarii, and he seized him and began to choke him, saying, pay back what you owe. So this fellow slave fell down and began to entreat him, saying, have patience with me, and I'll repay you. He was unwilling, however, to do that, but went and threw him in prison that he should pay back what it was owed. And when his fellow slaves saw what had happened, they were deeply grieved and came and reported and told the Lord all that had happened. And then summoning him, his Lord said to him, you wicked slave, I forgave you all the debt because you entreated me. Should you not also have had mercy for your fellow slave, even as I have had mercy for you? And his Lord, moved with anger, handled him over to the torturers that he should repay all that was owed him. So shall my heavenly Father also do to you if each of you does not forgive his brother from his heart. Did you get that? From his heart. Certainly a message that is most important, not only to you and I, but to every person upon the face of the earth. Jesus expressed his compassion by expecting it from others. As his disciples, you and I emulate the King. In John 13, the 14th verse, the Bible says, if I then, your Lord and Master, have washed your feet, so also you ought to wash one another's feet. If you and I want to be Christ-like, we must be like Christ. The compassion that Christ demands must be activated in our life. It must be activated in the physical, as brothers and sisters, spiritually. We must see to each other's needs. In 1 Peter 3 and verse 8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be pitiful, be courteous, and so on. Let me just stop and say something about that, aside of that demand by Jesus that sometimes we don't consider. We value our independence so much, and as we grow older and our needs, our physical needs, cannot be met by ourselves, by our own resources, the pride that wells us up in us stops us from allowing others who want to help us to obey the command to be compassionate toward us and to help us. Jesus saw the multitude was hungry, didn't he? And he fed them. Matthew 15 and verse 32. Remember, we've talked about Galatians 6 and verse 10. Do good unto all men as we have opportunity. Physical disasters have, I think, for the most part, been well responded to. It's the non-disaster, it's the non-main event that we oftentimes fail. It's the regular help that we fail to give someone that is in need. Well, the compassion within us must be activated in the spiritual sense also. When Jesus saw the multitude in Matthew the 9th chapter and verse 36, he was concerned for their soul. They had allowed human traditions of the Jews to overwhelm them. But Jesus wasn't discouraged. He knew with proper leadership that they could recover. The proper leadership that allows you and I to recover is found in the Word of God. Jesus knew, didn't he, that the harvest was ripe. He also prayed for workers. A prayerful person will have spiritual compassion. Compassion is for the fallen away also. What are we doing to restore those that have left the narrow road and joined the sinners on the broad road that leads to destruction? In 1 Thessalonians 3 and verse 15, the Bible says, and yet do not regard him as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. I understand that the Bible teaches us concerning discipline and withdrawing of ourselves from those who walk disorderly, from false teachers and those that try to do harm to the church. And that, I understand, is a separation. But that separation must also have within it a compassion on our part to do everything within the parameters of our limitations brought about by the separation, to do everything within that compassionately to bring the ones that have fallen away back to the Lord. There will be hindrances to activating the compassion that we're talking about. There'll be misunderstandings brought about by the devil regarding the cause of suffering. I'd like for you to look at John the 9th chapter, beginning in verse 1. Now as Jesus passed by, saw a man that was blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, "Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind?" Jesus answered, "Neither this man nor his parents sinned, but that the works of God should be revealed in him." There was a misunderstanding, wasn't there, by the disciples of Jesus. Misunderstandings about the condition of that person. Not all suffering is caused by sin. We must understand that. We must not have a "don't get involved" policy or "it's not my job" attitude. Those hinder compassion. Another hindrance, a great hindrance, I think, in at least my life and in our day and time, is to compassion is being too busy. Being compassionate just doesn't fit the schedule. We can preach about compassion and we can read about compassion and we can make a phone call now and then, but when the time just becomes too much of a draw on our schedule, compassion goes to the back burner. There was an illustration that I read one time that a woman had stopped to help at a car wreck, help a victim, and she was hit by another car before she could get to the hospital. And no one helped her. Compassion takes time. Materialistic attitudes hinder compassion. That was the rich man's problem in Luke the 16th chapter, wasn't it? He was self-centered. A lot of times we want to hire it done instead of doing it ourselves. Well, what can we do? What can one person do to satisfy the desires of Jesus for us to be compassionate? Well, here's some practical suggestions. We can visit the sick in the hospital. We can take the time to send get well cards and cheer up cards and friendship cards to those that are shut in, that can't get out, those who may be depressed. We can show our neighbor hospitality. We can show unexpected things of hospitality. We don't have to wait for a special occasion to be friendly to our neighbor. We can share Bible teaching. There are so many avenues of sharing what is taught here at the Monte Vista Church of Christ, and we can share that with our friends, and that indeed is showing compassion. We can be optimistic about the future and in that show compassion to those that are downtrodden and depressed. Dare we be like Christ? Dare we take our life to a new level and step our game up and actively not just be called a Christian, but be a Christian? It's a lifestyle. Thank you, my friend, for listening today. I hope that you have a good week.
Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.